بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أوكي، الحمد لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. جزاك الله خيرا for joining us again for another lesson regarding the etiquette of a student, etiquette of a learner, based on the book by Ibn Jama'a al-Kinani rahimahullah ta'ala. I think we've waited long enough. Maghrib is getting closer to our class time, so inshallah we'll give a minute or so. Alhamdulillah, most people are, I think, here. So inshallah, we'll begin. What we're going to do today is to actually begin discussing the actual main topic of the book, which is the etiquette of the student within himself. And Ibn Jama'a rahimahullah ta'ala discusses 10 aspects to this. The first being purity of heart. Ibn Jama'a rahimahullah ta'ala doesn't discuss much the physical aspect of tahara and purity. When he discusses the aspects of lesson in class, that's when he'll speak a little about being pure and being prepared and well-dressed. But when discussing etiquettes of a student within himself, he gives primary focus to purity of heart, which I don't think anyone would doubt from the two types of purity is the more important one. Inshallah, if anyone wants to ask any questions or make any comments, you can ask on the chat, inshallah. It's named questions. So purity of heart is the first thing in the Jama'a rahimahullah ta'ala discusses, followed by intention. What's the intention that you should go in with when you're seeking knowledge of deen? The third aspect is removal of obstacles. Number four, being content with a little. Number five, the value of time. Very, very important point, which we'll speak about in more detail, inshallah. And there's a book which I mentioned to brother to upload it to the student portal. I'm not sure if he has, but we'll talk about it then, inshallah. After value of time, inshallah, we'll speak about food. After that, right. After food, a higher path. A higher path meaning, when we're going to talk about concessions, inshallah, because the deen obviously gives concessions for certain ahkam, and generally concessions from Allah are a mercy. But when it comes to a student and someone who is trying to tread a higher path or a higher level, then for such people and such people who are trying to follow the path of taqwa, then sometimes it's more important for them to have a higher ideal to aim towards. A good diet what kind of foods to eat and what kind of foods not to eat. Sleep and rest, very important. And finally, we're going to speak about socializing. So number one, let's get straight to them, purity of heart. One of the reasons why the knowledge of Deen is very different from any other form of knowledge is the requirement of taqwa and purity of heart, subhanAllah. Right? Think about that. If you're applying for a course or you're applying for a degree in a certain field, they will ask you about your credentials and your qualifications. So people who are trying to apply for university, they'll look at your A levels if you're from England. I'm not sure what the qualifications would be elsewhere, but they'll look at your A levels, they'll look at your GCSEs, they'd look at your A levels, and they'll judge whether you're able to apply or not. So, I mean, similar in Islamic institutes, they'll look at your knowledge of your basic knowledge or your fundamental knowledge. They'll see if it's a higher learning. But what we know about the knowledge of Deen is that there is an aspect which is required. And Allah, no one will know but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the requirement of taqwa and purity of heart. So what we need to do when we are treading down this path is to purge our heart of spiritual maladies, things such as anger, hatred, envy, lust, vanity, and miserliness. Right? The next thing we need to do is rid our heart of evil and incorrect beliefs. This could be in the form of hypocrisy, or it could be in the form of mistaken aqaid. Right? So one of the aspects that we study as students is the topic of aqidah, or usuluddin, or al-fiqh al-akbar, as is known by its various names. The belief of Islam, the creed of Islam, what do we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So, number one, you have to purge your heart or rid your heart of evil and incorrect beliefs. And also, hypocrisy. We need to rid our heart of hypocrisy. When we talk about ridding the heart of spiritual maladies, the term tazkiyah comes up, right? Now, some people switch off the moment you mention anything like tasawwuf or Sufism. But all the extraneous aspects aside, this is exactly what tasawwuf or Sufism is about. Well, what it should be about, right? Purity of heart. Removing all of the negative qualities and embellishing your heart with the best qualities. If you have had the good fortune of studying Imam Ghazali's Ihya Ulum al-Din, or also his Al-Arba'in fi Usul al-Din, you'll notice that Imam Ghazali dedicates half of the book to this. So he begins, he has four quarters. The book is split into four. The first quarter discusses concepts of creed. The second discusses physical actions. The third and fourth discuss, number one, qualities that you should rid your heart of, and number two, qualities you should embellish your heart with. This is what tazkiyah is, and tasawwuf is supposed to be about. Right? Not the miracles and floating in the cosmos or things that usually attract people. things that seem very entertaining, right? People want to do dhikr and they want to tie themselves with a sheikh in hopes that they will start to see some miraculous vision, for example. This is absolutely not what tazkiyah or tasawwuf or Sufism is about or is supposed to be about. Now, whether you want to call it tazkiyah or you want to call it ihsan, we must understand that we must prime our hearts so they are ready to accept and appreciate the subtleties and intricacies of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a concept established in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah swears by the soul and the one who proportioned it. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies it, his soul, he has triumphed. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who has polluted it has lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions it in the hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the famous hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al ihsan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah. فَإِنَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. To worship Allah as though you see Him, and if you do not see Him, then know that He sees you. This is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. The other reason why we need purity of heart is that ilm is the esoteric prayer. Right? What do we mean by that? Salah is primarily a physical action. Whereas ilm, gathering ilm and studying ilm and memorizing it, is like salah, but it's esoteric. It's on the inside. It's the batini, so salah batiniya. Whereas the physical salah is known as the salah zahiriya. Right? So salah is the action of the body, while ilm is the action of the heart. Where are we going with this? Salah needs wudu to be correct. So if salah, which is the ibadah zahiriya, needs some form of purification, then ilm too, which is the salah batiniya, it too requires some form of purity. And that is purity of the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in another hadith, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Surely in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is pure, the whole body will be pure. And if it is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. This is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. For those of you who have a copy of Ibn Jama'a's book, subhanAllah, he gives an absolutely amazing example of a pure, fertile heart accepting the seed of knowledge, right? So he gives an example that the pure heart is like fertile land, and the seed which you drop into the ground, this is, he says, this is the seed of knowledge. Now, if you've put the seed of knowledge in earth, which is fertile and is not barren, then subhanAllah, what you will find is you'll see many fruits and blessings, an increase in growth. Whereas if you put it in dead land, nothing's going to come of it, nothing's going to grow. So inshallah, if we try and work on our hearts, like I mentioned last week, it's you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be 100% perfect. But the point is not to be 100% perfect. If Allah wanted us to be angels, He would not have created human beings. But the point is that you keep returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you don't suffice on, you don't give up and you don't think, you know, just forget it. The point is you have to carry on. You make a mistake. If you've spoiled your heart in some way, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the all-forgiving. So this is purity of heart. The very first thing a student must do, it has absolutely nothing to do with the knowledge, right? The very first condition is not to go to the shop and buy your stationery and your books and things like that. Although some of those rules will be discussed. However, it is something which you wouldn't even consider has anything to do with the knowledge. It is to correct your heart. The second aspect of etiquette for a student within himself is the intention. There is an amazing hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wherein he discusses succinctly but comprehensively many kinds of intentions that students study for. But subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions reasons why we shouldn't. He mentions why you shouldn't do those things and what the cause of those intentions would be. So if we read the hadith and then after that we'll break it down, inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man talab al-ilma liyujari bihi al-ulama'a, aw liyumari bihi al-sufaha'a, aw yasrif bihi wujuh al-nasi ilayhi, adkhalahu Allahu an-nara." Whoever seeks knowledge to vie with scholars, dispute with fools, or turn people's attention towards himself, Allah will enter him into the fire. Ma'adullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Mentioned, reported by Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So let's have a look at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith of wrong intentions. Whoever seeks knowledge to vie with scholars. So vying with scholars, right? One thing that has become so rampant in nowadays, and that wasn't really present so much when personally I was studying at an institute, is YouTube. Now, this is going to come up again and again, because what you find on YouTube is a lot of naming and shaming, people making videos, and the video, they have a screenshot or a thumbnail, and it's very flashy. And it says underneath the description is stay away from Sheikh so-and-so or stay away from Sheikh this person and that person, right? And you look further, go down and look in the comments, subhanAllah, right? And you have people questioning and competing with scholars. Don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean that a person should never be called out. Because subhanAllah, if someone's teaching the deen wrong, without a doubt, it's a responsibility of the scholars to come and say, this is wrong. But subhanAllah, you can tell the difference between someone who's genuinely doing that as compared to someone who, that's his repertoire, that's his go-to. Every single video, the video will not be about improving yourself as a Muslim or helping your fellow Muslim. the person's videos will continuously be about refuting, refutation of so-and-so, refutation of so-and-so, refutation of so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, right? And what do you find? Which videos have the most views? It's videos like that. Subhanallah. You see a lot of these Hyde Park videos. And why do we get roped into that as viewers? We get roped in because videos like that are more entertaining, as opposed to someone sitting here and just talking to you about the Quran and the Sunnah. There's nothing in the deen or in ilm that says it's going to entertain you. Subhanallah, you have to make an effort. But what do? We rely on, we prefer these videos, Hyde Park, back and forth, shouting at one another, dissing one another, trying to, through logic, trying to have these debates and arguments. And what do we say to ourselves? Yeah, I'm studying. I'm studying the deen. Right? So number one, subhanAllah, you do not seek knowledge to vie with scholars. And we, as students, should never try to watch these videos or give preference to these videos over other more informative videos. The second thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned was disputing with fools. It's linked to the first one, right? So the first one is you see a scholar and you think to yourself, you know, whether it's personal or not, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to show him. And you go and you learn. Some people will do a crash course on Google or YouTube, watch a couple of videos, and they won't really learn anything about the concept that the scholar is talking about. Rather, they will learn how to win an argument. And they will have long, long videos about the art of debating, basically, and how to trump the other person, how to win someone in a debate. And they will have classical concepts, and that's what they'll learn. And they'll go in and try to vie with a scholar, try to put a scholar down. On the flip side, you have disputing with fools. Again, a person might not learn the deen to put a scholar down, but they'll go and make videos about one another. And, you know, so this disputing fools comes as a response to vying with scholars, right? When two people begin to engage and start to vie with one another and debate one another, again, I don't want to make this sound like every single scholar who debates is wrong. That's not the point I'm trying to make. A scholar knows when to debate and when not to debate. But a true scholar never engages with every criticism. Never. Right? Subhanallah, even celebrities avoid the comments section in YouTube. Why? And also they try to avoid and minimalize any interaction with fans. Why? Because for every 100 people that praise you, you're going to get 300-400 who are going to criticize you, many times unjustified criticisms, right? So do not learn knowledge to dispute with fools. Many people watch the video only to criticize. What do they call them? Subhanallah, trolls, right? They call them trolls. They'll watch the video and then they'll go in the comment section and then subhanallah, it's a mujahid behind the keyboard. And they'll start to criticize and leave comments, rude comments, whether it's out of hasad or just straight up bull hatred or envy. Right? Subhanallah. But you need to understand that they are not your true audience. People like to go into the comments because reading the positive comments, sometimes it's an ego boost. Well, I wouldn't say it's always that. Sometimes you want to know that people are appreciating what you're doing or it's not a waste of time. But subhanAllah, when you read the good comments, it boosts your ego. But what you need to be wary of, there's going to be people there who who do not have nice things to say. But it's important you don't engage with them. If there's a genuine criticism, you can address it. As I said, if a scholar has said something, a genuine criticism, address it privately with the scholar, right? You do not drop names and try to get one up over the other person, right? A lot of these videos, these refutation videos, more than refuting the scholar, it's about putting my name up there to show that I was the first one who called him out on it, more than trying to correct the scholar's position. So that's disputing with fools. The next thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or to turn people's attention towards himself, right? This is connected again to YouTube videos. Most views on YouTube, right? And so what you find is, before the video is even started, what will we find? Please like, share, subscribe. Trying to capitalize on the amount of views that we get. You don't do it, subhanAllah, for the attention. Again, it feeds the ego. It feels good. But subhanAllah, that should not be your intention. The next intention, this is not connected to the hadith in Tirmidhi, but this is another intention, fortune and fame. And this is based on another hadith, as reported by Abu Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ta'allama 'ilman mimma yubtagha bihi wajhu Allah, la yata'allamuhu illa liyusiba bihi 'aradan min ad-dunya, lam yajid 'araf al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah." That anyone who studies, knowledge, which should be studied seeking Allah's countenance, for no other reason than to serve a worldly purpose, right? لِيُصِيبَ بِهِ عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا means to gain, to access the mundane aspects of this world. What is the punishment, subhanAllah? لَمْ يَجِدْ عَرَفَ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He shall not smell the fragrance of paradise on the day of resurrection. Allah save us. So this is if you do it for fortune and fame, for money, right? Again, trying to capitalize on YouTube and comment sections, or I want to become an author because I want to sell so many books and become a bestseller and I'll be able to make a lot of money. Or I want to become a famous speaker so I can travel the world and stay in posh hotels and everyone in the world will know me. SubhanAllah, Allah save us from having intentions such as this. The final intention that we're going to look at, negative intention that we're going to look at, is pride. There is a hadith which, when I first read it in madrasa, it strikes a chord in your heart. Even now, any student or any scholar who has studied the deen will always have this hadith in the back of their mind. Sometimes you slip and you do something, or you have an intention you're not supposed to. But this hadith is a good reminder to bring it back to sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Some of the greatest people in our sight, or in our estimation in the sight of Allah, that they will have the highest levels in Jannah. So I'm talking about, for example, a mujahid, someone fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, a qari, a reciter. Number three, a scholar. Number four, a rich person who spends freely in the path of Allah. These are all examples of someone that we would assume is going to have the highest level in Jannah. However, there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna awla an-nasi yuqda yawm al-qiyamati 'alayhi rajulun ta'allama al-'ilma wa 'allamahu wa qara'a al-Qur'an." The first of men who will be judged on the day of resurrection will be a man who studied knowledge, taught it to others, and recited the Quran. فَأُوْتِيَ بِهِ He'll be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the judgment. فَعَرَّفَهُ نِعْمَهُ فَعَرَفَهَا Allah will remind him of the blessings he bestowed on him. فَعَرَفَهَا And he will acknowledge them. Yes, I fully admit you gave me these blessings. قَالَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا What did you do with these blessings? قَالَ The man will respond, تَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمْتُهُ وَقَرَأْتُ فِيكَ الْقُرْآنَ I studied knowledge, and I taught it, and I recited the Qur'an for your sake, or for your pleasure. فِيكَ قَالَ كَذَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُقَالَ عَالِمٌ وَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُقَالَ هُوَ قَارِئٌ فَقَدْ قِيلَ اللهم احفظنا Allah save us. So when he says, Oh Allah, I studied the deen, I taught it, and I recited the Qur'an for your pleasure, for your sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, كَذَبْتَ You have lied. وَلَكِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْعِلْمَ But you studied. لِيُقَالَ عَالِمٌ So that people would say, wow, he's a scholar, subhanAllah, what an amazing scholar he is. You made this video on YouTube, or you conducted this lesson on Zoom, or on Wise, and subhanAllah, people called you a scholar. That's why you did it. وَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ And you recited the Qur'an. Why? Why did you go around the world reciting the Qur'an? لِيُقَالَ هُوَ قَارِئٌ So that it would be said, subhanAllah, look at what an amazing qari he is. Right? MashaAllah, he's like Qari Abdul Basit, Qari Minshawi, subhanAllah, rahimahumullah. فَقَدْ قِيلَ Now this is the part that we need to understand if we have these intentions. فَقَدْ قِيلَ Allah said, you did it for these reasons and you got what you wanted. قَدْ قِيلَ It was said. You wanted people to say those things and they said those things. So why are you coming to me for reward? Allah will ask the person, this is the point. Why are you coming to me for reward when you did it for those reasons and you've got the reward? What more do you want? ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ Then it will be ordered, or Allah will give the order, فَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ And he will be dragged on his face until he is thrown into the fire. رواه مسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimullah said about studying knowledge for the purpose of pride and trying to put yourself above others, subhanAllah. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimullah, the famous student of Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, O people, pursue knowledge, seeking Allah the Most High. Truly, I have never yet sat in a gathering, intending to humble myself therein, without leaving that gathering as the most honored of them. On the other hand, I have never yet sat in a gathering, intending to become the most honored of them, without leaving, having been put to shame. What does that mean? That means if I ever came to a gathering and my intention was to make myself look good, subhanAllah, what would happen? I would end up looking bad. And if ever I came for a lesson with the intention to keep myself humbled and not promote myself, what ended up happening was I would be promoted and people would praise me, subhanAllah. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is because Izzah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of Izzah, right? And He gives Izzah to whomever He wills, as He mentions in the Quran. If you understand that Allah is the Most High and we could have achieved nothing without Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa jal, and you put yourself down, Allah will put Izzah in people's hearts for you. Whereas if you have this understanding that, no, I'm something great, I've done this studying and I've done that, and subhanAllah, I've got people to guide and things like that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yank out the Izzah in people's hearts for you. So we've discussed intention. What we're going to do next is removing obstacles. So right from the top again, the first aspect of a student's etiquette within himself is purity of heart. The second one was intention. The third one was removal of obstacles. Right. So removal of obstacles, there's a couple of points under this too. The first thing is the concept of youth. Right. Now, the best time to study is in your youth. This is when a person is generally more free and has fewer responsibilities. Right. So when we say removal of obstacles, we mean removal of things that would impede your path to knowledge, to seeking knowledge. So don't wait until you think, I'm going to get through school and college and university, let me get married, have some kids, then I'll study for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen. Chances are it's not going to happen. The best time to study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best time to study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in your youth. Also, if you study in your youth, then inshallah, you will have the excellence and the virtue mentioned in the hadith regarding the seven types of people who will have shade, the shade of Allah on the day when there will be no shade except for His shade. And the description is shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah, a youngster who grew up in the worship of Allah. And as we established a couple of weeks ago, there is no greater form of worship than seeking knowledge, seeking ilm. So the best time to do it is in your youth. Another obstacle that we need to overcome is procrastination. Someone mentioned this on the first lesson we had, and they requested, they asked for some advice. I think we shared a dua that we can all read, inshallah, right? So what we need to understand is procrastination is the most deadly deception. And it's basically the false hopes of, I will do it next year, subhanAllah. I don't want to do the New Year jokes, but yeah, subhanAllah, when the New Year is about to arrive, yeah, subhanAllah, on the 1st of Jan, inshallah, I'm going to start a gym. On the 1st of Jan, inshallah, I'm going to stop this bad habit. On the 1st of Jan, inshallah, I will sign up for a course. If you keep saying that, tomorrow, as the saying goes, tomorrow never comes, next year, next month, next week. If you have an intention and you're set on something that you need to do, you have to do it straight away. SubhanAllah. A good tip is not to give yourself time to think about it, because when you think about it, that's when doubts come about. SubhanAllah. What you'll find sometimes is there's some life coaches, they train people to count down, right? So they say, if you want to get up and go for a jog, do not think about it, because your mind will give you 101 reasons why you shouldn't. The weather's not good. SubhanAllah, it's gone dark now. In winter, that's it. No, I don't have time. It's cold weather. You know, it's wet and windy. It's raining. I won't be able to get my studies done. There's 100 reasons that will pop up in your head. So what do some life coaches say? Start counting. If the thought of jogging comes into your mind, start counting from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your mind now is occupied in counting. Right? Your mind now is occupied in counting. This is how people use meditation as well to train themselves. It's because your mind is thinking about the flow of air in and out, in and out. And it's too busy to think about other distracting things. So if you start counting 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, when you get to 1, stand up and do it. And a lot of people have noticed that, SubhanAllah, that is very, very useful. They claim that they've changed their whole lives just based on this one concept of not procrastinating. So the other point is, you need to commit to a course in a way that makes it difficult to back out from the course or a learning an institute or some kind of lesson. Now, what makes it difficult to back out? When you pay some money, right? So, which is why paid courses are beneficial for the students too, right? If you've paid that, you'll think twice about canceling, because the money will go to waste, right? So, although SubhanAllah, Allah reward whoever was involved in these lessons and making them accessible for everyone, SubhanAllah, Allah reward them with the highest levels of Jannat al-Firdaus. But what we need to understand is we appreciate more those things that we have invested something in. And so when you see a paid course, think of it as an incentive to keep you in that course. And inshallah, it'll become more easier to pay and for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we'll stop there, inshallah. It's gone past 5 o'clock. Removal of obstacles. There's a couple of points still left over, but we'll discuss that, inshallah, next week. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. If anyone has any questions, feel free to message. You can do it publicly or to the user that says questions. Inshallah, I'll try to answer to the best of my ability. SubhanAllah, it's the last day of the year as well. I wanted to just encourage myself and everyone else to think about how you've spent the past year and what you've achieved or what you have, if you've improved or if you haven't improved, what you should do for the following year, inshallah. Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. Allah reward us and give us the tawfiq to carry on worshipping Him and obeying Him. So someone's mentioned, I heard about this hadith about the first three people. Was it narrated that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu fainted thrice? Is this the one about the, in Muslim, about, possibly there might be a variation of this hadith wherein it's mentioned, but in the riwayah of Sahih Muslim, I don't think that's mentioned there. Let's have a look. Let's see if we can find. So it's in Sahih Muslim, inna awwal an-nas yuqda yawm al-qiyamah. We'll have a look for that, inshallah. Any other questions anyone has? Someone has a question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So is this Muhammad Rafi? Yeah, the riwayah in Muslim does not mention anything about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu passing out, although the riwayah is from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Right, Salam, I've ordered the English version of this kitab. Please, can you tell what page or chapter we are on? Right, I have a copy here. Just give me a moment and inshallah, I will tell you what page we're currently on. Okay. So we're discussing at the moment, we've passed the excellence of knowledge. Etiquette with a student within himself starts on page 31. Right? And the first point was purifying the heart, followed by correcting the intention, followed by removing obstacles. Removing obstacles is on page 33. Jazakallahu khairan. Wantum jazakallahu khairan. How can an average Muslim work on Ihsan, subhanAllah? You can't do it by yourself. I would say I feel very strongly about this, my teachers, too. You can't, it's not impossible, but it's very, 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 very difficult to be able to do it by yourself. Because the problem is, what needs to be tamed is your nafs and your ego. And if your nafs and your ego is what you need to tame, how can you tell whether a decision that you're going to make is actually you with ikhlas from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if it's your ego and your nafs? For example, I'm going to start praying tahajjud every night, subhanAllah. Allah give us all the tawfiq. That's amazing. But what do? I will wake up. I will wake up and I'll make loud noises, open the door loud and close the door loud. And subhanAllah, when I'm doing qira'ah, I'll recite loud. Why? Because that serves my ego, right? What you need to understand. And again, it's not the concept. Many people don't ascribe to the concept of tasawwuf and Sufism and with a sheikh and things like that. If you don't, subhanAllah, the deen doesn't say you have to be a Sufi to get to Jannah. If that's not your cup of tea, if that's not what you do, fine. Find a scholar. A scholar is definitely someone you need. Find a scholar. Find someone who has impeccable character, and you can see the taqwa flowing from him, you can see what is the taqwa. It's not miracles. It's the fact that he follows the deen to the letter. This is what I found about my teacher personally, and everyone who's studied by him, Sheikh Muhammad Adam in Leicester, Hafidhahullah. The most amazing thing I found about him was the way he followed the deen. We used to read a hadith with him in class, and subhanAllah, I used to see him acting upon it all the time. And it uncovers your own weaknesses, and you see, subhanAllah, how I'm supposed to be and how I am. So find a scholar, someone who has taqwa, who acts upon the deen, and ask them for help, right? The Prophet, the Sahaba had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Tabi'een had the Sahaba to correct them when they made mistakes. Atba'u Tabi'een had the Tabi'een. You can never be free or do without the older generation, the generation who came before you. There's a famous saying, I think it was from Isaac Newton, but he said, only through standing on the shoulders of giants have I been able to see further. Right? So the people that came before him who established the foundation, and he worked on their foundations, and people don't remember them because the student became very famous. People don't remember them, but he says, in like a dedication to his teachers, it's because of them, subhanAllah. So how can an average Muslim work on ihsan? You need help, subhanAllah, you need help from a scholar, a muttaqi scholar. Didn't Imam Ghazali say there are seven types of tasawwuf in his Ihya, like Siddiqiyya? So well, it's not necessarily what he's talking about in his Ihya and Al-Arba'in fil Suruddin is not types, but he talks about the maqamat, the different levels, right? So Siddiqiyya, yeah, you know, he talks about different types of believers, of taqwa, and becoming a Siddiq, and becoming Salih. So he talks about different levels, right? And subhanAllah, you have the lowest level and then progressing levels. So yeah, you could have a look at Ihya Ulumuddin. You could also have a look at Al-Arba'in fi Usuluddin. Couple of minutes left, inshallah. Any other question? Anyone has any other questions? Jazakallahu khair. Wa antum jazakumullahu khairan. Jazakallahu khair for today's dars. Jazakallahu khair to you guys for tuning in. Right? There wouldn't be a lesson if it wasn't for you. So jazakallahu khair for joining us, inshallah. Do people still do bay'ah with scholars? Yep, they do. Again, like I said, subhanAllah, this is a tradition that some scholars have kept and tried to emulate the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, where they had bay'ah and things like that. And inshallah, Allah reward them for their intentions and the blessings that they gained through attaching themselves to a scholar. But like I said, it's not absolutely necessary. There are people who do bay'ah, they pledge bay'ah or they pledge their allegiance, so to speak, to a scholar. And the pledge that they make is mentioned in a hadith, the pledge to not sin, and the pledge to improve themselves and repent to Allah if they do sin. So yeah, people still do those things. They do the bay'ah with scholars. Wanted to ask whether the Arabic PDF has been shared on the students' forum, as we can't seem to find it. I have shared it. Is Brother Muhammad Khalid around or Sister Sylvia, are you around?
I am here.
Right, so there's I sent a PDF. I don't know if it has been shared. I'll send it again, inshallah, and then if you can upload it to the student portal. So yeah, I shared, but I will share it again, inshallah. Any final questions? So bear in mind the Arabic, remember, the first half is adab or etiquette of teachers. The section that we're going through, you'll have to go halfway through the book and you'll see the section for etiquette for students. Where should we look on the students' portal? Perhaps we haven't looked well. Right. I'm not quite sure if Brother Muhammad Khalid is here. I'm not sure if he is. But if you definitely have to sign in, possibly it's not coming up because possibly you haven't signed in. So make sure you signed in and then go under this course. Yes, we signed in. Right. Okay. So after the lesson, inshallah, I'll speak to the brother or sister Sobia, inshallah. We'll try to sort something out. Or maybe I'll ask them to send a link for the PDF, inshallah. Okay. So I think we shall end there. Jazakumullahu khairan again. And, remember me in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.